This is a recording of Gazalem the Jaredite by Elliot Jolly, published in Interpreter, a Journal of Mormon Scripture, read by Elliot Jolly. Abstract. Alma refers to Gazalem in his instructions to his son Helaman in Alma 37:23. This article proposes and explores the concept of identifying Gazalem as a Jaredite seer. Other theories of the identity of Gazalem are addressed in this article, but are not explored in depth. It discusses the full context of Alma's words, the Jaredite secret combinations and their oaths, Gazalem's seer stone, and the Nephite interpreters. Additionally, it proposes a possible timeline that Gazalem lived among the Jaredites. It also discusses the usage of Gazalem, spelled with an A-M, as a substitute name for Joseph Smith in early editions of the Doctrine and Covenants. One of the more mysterious passages of the Book of Mormon is Alma's reference to Gazalem in Alma 37:23. Gazalem has been interpreted by various authors to be the name of a seer stone, a name title for seer, or a prophecy of Joseph Smith, among other things. This article proposes that Gazalem was a Jaredite prophet who received revelations about the Jaredites through a seer stone. Considering this idea necessitates the discussion of several topics: Alma's instructions to Helaman, the use of a seer stone, the interpreters, the Book of Ether, the secret combinations of the Jaredites, and Gazalem, spelled with an A-M, as a substitute name for Joseph Smith in the 1835 edition of the Doctrine and Covenants. The discussion begins with the full context of Alma's words to his son Helaman. Quote, "And now I will speak unto you concerning those 24 plates, that ye keep them, that the mysteries and the works of darkness and their secret works, or the secret works of those people which have been destroyed, may be made manifest unto this people, yea, all their murders and robbings and their plunderings, and all their wickedness and abominations may be made manifest unto this people, yea, and that ye preserve these directors. For behold, the Lord saw that his people began to work in darkness, yea, work secret murders and abominations. Therefore the Lord said, if they did not repent, they should be destroyed from off the face of the earth. And the Lord said, I will prepare unto my servant Gazalem a stone which shall shine forth in darkness unto light, that I may discover unto my people which serve me, that I may discover unto them the works of their brethren, yea, their secret works, their works of darkness, and their wickedness and abominations. And now, my son, these directors were prepared, that the word of God might be fulfilled, which he spake, saying, I will bring forth out of darkness unto light all their secret works and their abominations, and except they repent, I will destroy them from off the face of the earth. And I will bring to light all their secrets and abominations unto every nation which shall hereafter possess the land. And now, my son, we see that they did not repent, therefore they have been destroyed. And thus far the word of God hath been fulfilled, yea, their secret abominations have been brought out of darkness and made known unto us. And now, my son, I command you that ye retain all their oaths and their covenants and their agreements in their secret abominations. Yea, and all their signs and their wonders ye shall retain from this people, that they know them not, lest peradventure they should fall into darkness also and be destroyed." Close quote. Alma 37:21-27. Section heading: Theories. Some of the proposed theories about the identity of Gazalem are summarized by the quotations below. The purpose of this article is not to discredit or disprove these theories, simply to propose my own. These quotations serve as a representative sample of their number and variety. I include them here to demonstrate that there is no consensus among them, and sometimes there isn't a consensus within them. Mormon Doctrine by Bruce R. McConkie, quote, "With reference to the name Gazalem, it is interesting to note that Alma, in directing Helaman to preserve both the Urim and Thummim and the plates containing the Book of Ether, says that such a record will be brought to light by the Lord's servant Gazalem, who will use a stone in his translation work." Alma 37:21-23. It may be that Gazalem is a variant spelling of Gazalem, spelled with an A-M, and that Alma's reference is to the prophet Joseph Smith, who did, in fact, bring forth part, at least, of the ether record. Or it could be that the name Gazalem, Gazalem, spelled with an A-M, is a title having to do with power to translate ancient records, and that Alma's reference was to some Nephite prophet who brought the Book of Ether to light in the golden era of Nephite history. Close quote. Doctrinal Commentary on the Book of Mormon by Joseph Fielding McConkie and Robert L. Millett. Quote, I will prepare unto my servant Gazalem a stone. This may well be a play on words. Is Gazalem the seer stone or the servant? It is difficult to tell from the passage and depends very much on the placement of a comma in the sentence. Perhaps it could refer to both. It is interesting to note that when Jesus called Simon Peter to the ministry, he said, quote, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is, by interpretation, a seer or a stone. JST, John 1:42. Though this name or title of Gazalem may be used in regard to any seer who utilizes seer stones, it seems in this instance to be a direct reference to Joseph Smith, the prophet. Close quote. Reflections of Urim, Hebrew Poetry Sheds Light on the Director's Interpreter's Mystery, by Stan Spencer, in Interpreter, A Journal of Mormon Scripture. Quote, Whether Gazalem refers to the servant or the stone is unclear. If it is the name or title of a servant, Gazalem could refer to the brother of Jared, who received the interpreters from the Lord, or to Mosiah, who used them to translate the Jaredite record for the benefit of the Nephites. Close quote. Joseph Smith's Seer Stones by Michael Hubbard McKay and Nicholas J. Frederick. Quote, Alma used this prophecy to emphasize the prophetic role of Mosiah II and his translation of the 24 gold plates. He apparently felt that the person Gazalem was Mosiah II and that it was relevant that he translated with the two seer stones bound in a metal bow. Close quote. Section heading, My Servant Gazalem. Royal Skousen has argued from a linguistic and textual standpoint that Gazalem is probably the name of a person and not the name of a stone. Quote, Most likely the phrase here in Alma 37:23, My Servant Gazalem, intends to say that the name of the servant was Gazalem. One reason is that there are numerous instances in the text of the expression, My Servant, and then the name. My Servant Abinadi, My Servant Amulek, My Servant Samuel the Lamanite, My Servant John. Another reason is that if the name of the stone were Gazalem, we would expect the word order to be different, with the indefinite a stone preceding its name, something like, I will prepare unto my servant a stone, Gazalem. The critical text will therefore interpret the name Gazalem as the name of the servant and not the name of the stone. Close quote. This article will also interpret Gazalem to be the name of the servant. The question then becomes, who was he, and why does Alma refer to him? Section heading, Alma's Instructions to Helaman. The words of Alma to his son Helaman include Alma chapters 36 and 37. Chapter 36 is a beautiful retelling of Alma's conversion, including personal exhortations to Helaman, formed as an ancient chiasm. In Alma 37, Alma instructed Helaman regarding certain artifacts, sacred things he would be charged with preserving, the plates of brass, the 24 Jaredite plates, the brother of Jared's interpreters, which Alma called directors, and the Liahona. He took the opportunity to teach Helaman certain doctrines relative to each one, dividing this chapter into topical sections based on each of these sacred things, reveals a structure wherein Alma combined his discussion of the 24 plates and the directors together under the broader topic of the Jaredite secret combinations. His reference to Gazalem originated within that discussion. Alma taught Helaman how secret combinations destroyed the Jaredites and warned him that they could also destroy the Nephites. He instructed him how to approach this subject, to readily teach the people to abhor secret combinations, but not to reveal the particulars of the Jaredite oaths. Alma described the secretive subculture that overtook and extinguished the Jaredites with these words: mysteries, works of darkness, secret works, murders, robbings, plunderings, wickedness, abominations, secret murders, secret abominations, and secret combinations. This article will refer to them simply as secret combinations. Helaman was told to freely teach the Nephites the consequences of these. Alma described the agreements between members of those secret combinations with these words: oaths, covenants, agreements, signs, wonders, and secret plans. This article will refer to them as oaths. Alma commanded Helaman not to reveal the oaths of the Jaredites' secret combinations to their people. Therefore, it stands to reason that both the history of the secret combinations and the details of their oaths were written on the Jaredite plates. The secret combinations that Alma referred to were in the Nephites' past, the Jaredite secret combinations. Secret combinations among the Nephites didn't exist at the time Alma spoke these words to Helaman. They were foreign to the Nephites until just before Alma's grandson, Helaman II, became chief judge. Kishkumen and Gadianton formed a secret band with their own secret signs, words, laws, and covenants. Mormon made sure to inform us that, quote, "those secret oaths and covenants did not come forth unto Gadianton from the records which were delivered unto Helaman," close quote. Section heading, Gazalem. Within Alma's discussion of the Jaredite secret combinations, he introduced the historical context of Gazalem. Quote, "For behold, the Lord saw that his people began to work in darkness, yea, work secret murders and abominations. Therefore the Lord said, if they did not repent, they should be destroyed from off the face of the earth." Close quote. Alma 37:22. Note that Alma used past tense. The Lord saw that his people began. In light of the circumstances of these verses, of Alma's giving the Jaredite record to Helaman, this statement is clearly a reference to the Jaredites and their secret combinations as written on the Jaredite plates. It is a discussion of the past, not a prophecy of the future. Alma was summarizing the Lord's interactions with the Jaredites, how he responded to their wickedness. He was retelling a sequence of historical events, a give and take or cause and effect. The Lord saw their wickedness, therefore the Lord spoke. The Lord had a message for the Jaredites: repent or be destroyed. Simple as it sounds, this conditional consequence was the crux of the Jaredites' fate. A few verses later, Alma referred back to this prophecy by observing, quote, "We see that they did not repent, therefore they have been destroyed." Close quote. Alma 37:26. Later in his instructions, Alma applied these same requirements to all future inhabitants of the land. Quote, "Yea, and cursed be the land forever and ever unto those workers of darkness and secret combinations, even unto destruction, except they repent before they are fully ripe." Close quote. Alma 37:31. After introducing the history of the Jaredite secret combinations, it appears that Alma quoted two scriptural passages. His source text is not available to us. Neither did Alma specify where the words came from. However, we can make several deductions with confidence. These quotations were written in the voice of the Lord. They were spoken to the Jaredites. Alma was well acquainted with these words and wove them seamlessly into his teachings about the consequences of the Jaredite secret combinations. Alma's omission of their source might indicate that Helaman was already familiar with the quotes and their origins. Given all this, the strongest possibility is that Alma quoted directly from the Jaredite plates, the same records that he was entrusting to Helaman. If we combine the two blocks of quoted text from Alma's instructions to Helaman, we see how they may have originally been one continuous passage. Quote, I will prepare unto my servant Gazalim a stone which shall shine forth in darkness unto light, that I may discover unto my people which serve me, that I may discover unto them the works of their brethren, yea, their secret works, their works of darkness, and their wickedness and abominations. I will bring forth out of darkness unto light all their secret works and their abominations, and except they repent, I will destroy them from off the face of the earth. And I will bring to light all their secrets and abominations unto every nation which shall hereafter possess the land. Close quote. Alma 37:23-25. Whether or not they were one passage, it is important to point out that these words were spoken by the Lord before the Jaredites were destroyed. They were given to the Jaredites as a warning. There was still a chance for them to repent. If they did not repent, and except they repent, are the conditions proposed. Therefore, the Lord spoke these words when the Jaredite secret combinations existed. The Lord brought their secrets out of darkness unto light at that time. As discussed previously, these revelations commenced when the Lord saw that his people began to work secret combinations. In response, he revealed their secret works to their brethren. A logical interpretation is that the brethren of the wicked Jaredites were the righteous Jaredites, those who served the Lord. The Lord revealed to them all the secret works of their brethren. According to these passages, the instrument for these revelations was a stone given to a servant of the Lord. The name of this servant was Gazalim, and the revelations he received were written on the Jaredite plates. Section heading, A Stone. The function of this seer stone sounds similar to what is known about the translation of the Book of Mormon. Joseph Smith used either the Nephite interpreter stones or his own seer stone. Eventually, either instrument became synonymous with the term Urim and Thummim. Joseph placed the seer stone into a hat and then put his face into the hat to look upon the stone in darkness. The words revealed to Joseph were then dictated to his scribe. The seer stone that the Lord prepared for Gazalim was similarly a stone which would, quote, shine forth in darkness unto light, close quote. Thus, the Jaredite record describes three different types of sacred stones, which had divine functions. The 16 stones that the brother of Jared asked the Lord to touch with his finger to give light to the Jaredite barges. The 2 stones that the Lord gave to the brother of Jared on the mount, the interpreters or directors, and the seer stone of Gazalim. As indicated by the text, Gazalim's seer stone was a single stone. Conversely, the interpreters are always described in the plural as stones, directors, or interpreters, specifically as, quote, 2 stones fastened into the 2 rims of a bow, close quote. Section heading, Interpreters. I propose that the revealing of the Jaredite secret combinations to the Nephites was a 2-step process. First, Gazalim used his seer stone to reveal the secret combinations of his contemporaries during his time. Those revelations were subsequently recorded on the Jaredite plates. Later, Mosiah II translated these words into the Nephite language with the interpreters. Through these 2 revelatory steps, the secret combinations of the Jaredites were manifest to the Nephites. Both times, interpreters and seers worked in tandem to bring them to light. First, Gazalim and his seer stone, and much later, Mosiah II and the interpreters. Alma referred to both instruments via the 2 quotations above to describe that process. The first quotation discussed above refers to Gazalim and his use of a seer stone. Part of the second quotation discussed below includes a prophecy that Alma considered to be fulfilled by Mosiah II's use of the interpreters. The language of the Jaredites was completely unknown to the Nephites. Providentially, the Lord gave the brother of Jared the interpreters, which were prepared, quote, for the purpose of interpreting languages, close quote. There are questions as to whether Mosiah II used his own interpreters or the 2 stones given to the brother of Jared. I personally conclude that they were the same as those given to the brother of Jared, which were also the same that Joseph Smith used, and that the first reference to these interpreters being used is when Mosiah the First translated a large stone containing the writings of Coriantumr, a lone Jaredite survivor who had lived with the people of Mulek for a short time. Decades later, Mosiah I's grandson, Mosiah II, used the interpreters to translate the 24 Jaredite plates, which had been found by the people of King Limhi. We do not know how Mosiah I came to possess the brother of Jared's interpreters, or why the interpreters and the Jaredite plates were not deposited together. The Nephites recovered them separately, as the passage below demonstrates. However these questions are answered, for the sake of this discussion, it only matters that Mosiah II was a seer who used the interpreters to translate the 24 Jaredite plates, then published them. Ammon, who aided the return of the people of King Limhi, was familiar with the abilities of a seer and the functioning of the interpreters. He told King Limhi, quote, "I can assuredly tell thee, O king, of a man that can translate the records, for he hath wherewith he can look and translate all records that are of ancient date, and it is a gift from God. And the things are called interpreters, and no man can look in them except he be commanded." Close quote. Mosiah 8:13. He continues with the description of a seer, which can be applied to the brother of Jared, Gazalem, Mosiah II, Joseph Smith, and others in the scriptures. Quote, "But a seer can know of things which are past, and also of things which are to come, and by them shall all things be revealed, or rather shall secret things be made manifest, and hidden things shall come to light. And things which is not known shall be made known by them, and also things shall be made known by them, which otherwise could not be known." Close quote. Mosiah 8:17. He further declared, "A gift which is greater can no man have." Alma taught Helaman the crucial role that these interpreters played in revealing the Jaredite secret combinations by quoting the second passage from the Jaredite plates. In this second Jaredite quotation, the use of the connecting pronouns they and their, referring to those who indulge in secret combinations, suggests that it is a continuation of the first Jaredite quotation. Quote, "And now, my son, these directors were prepared that the word of God might be fulfilled, which he spake, saying, I will bring forth out of darkness unto light all their secret works and their abominations, and except they repent, I will destroy them from off the face of the earth. And I will bring to light all their secrets and abominations unto every nation which shall hereafter possess the land. And now, my son, we see that they did not repent, therefore they have been destroyed. And thus far the word of God hath been fulfilled. Yea, their secret abominations have been brought out of darkness and are made known unto us." Close quote. Alma 37:24-26. This second Jaredite quotation has three important parts. The first two lines are a continuation of the first Jaredite quotation. The next line is the source for the words that Alma paraphrased to Helaman as he began his discussion of the 24 plates. Quote, "The Lord said if they did not repent, they should be destroyed from off the face of the earth." Close quote. The last two lines are a prophecy that future nations would know of the Jaredite secret combinations. After quoting this prophecy, Alma pointed out its fulfillment to Helaman. Mosiah II had used the interpreters to translate the Jaredite plates and publish them to the Nephites. Alma emphasized, quote, "And thus far the word of God hath been fulfilled. Yea, their secret abominations have been brought out of darkness and made known unto us." Close quote. According to Alma, the fulfillment of this prophecy is one of the purposes of the interpreters. They, quote, "were prepared that the word of God might be fulfilled." Close quote. Their instrumentality brought the secret combinations of the Jaredites to the knowledge of the Nephites. However, this prophecy includes more than just the Nephites. It also predicts that a knowledge of the Jaredite secret combinations will come to, quote, every nation which shall hereafter possess the land, quote. Hence, Joseph Smith's translation of the Book of Mormon and our knowledge of its contents, especially Moroni's abridgment of the Book of Ether, continues its fulfillment in our day. Section heading, The Book of Ether. Having considered the idea that Gazalem was a Jaredite, and that he brought the secret combinations and oaths of the wicked Jaredites to light through revelations from the Lord, which were subsequently written in the Jaredite plates, the question then arises, when did Gazalem live among the Jaredites? Moroni abridged the Jaredite plates, or their earlier Nephite translation, and included it with his writings at the end of the Book of Mormon. His abridgment is relatively small, and includes many of his own thoughts. In the course of his account, he wrote the names of 55 individuals. 30 are the same as those given at the beginning of the book, in the genealogy from Ether to Jared, but in reverse order. Of the 55 named individuals, 34 were kings. Non-specific groups of prophets are mentioned 7 times, but none of the prophets are named except Ether. Even the brother of Jared isn't named. It isn't surprising, then, that Gazalem's name wasn't included in the abridgment. Moroni said, quote, I could not make a full account of these things which are written, close quote, and, quote, the 100th part I have not written, close quote. We can therefore appreciate how much of the record he was able to append. Without any specifics about Gazalem from the Book of Ether, we can only guess as to a possible time that he lived. Alma prefaced his reference to Gazalem by saying, The Lord saw that his people began to work in darkness. Using this information as a starting point, we can find multiple times in the Book of Ether when the Jaredites were involved in secret combinations. However, the first instance of secret combinations is notable, because Moroni included many details of its establishment, mentioned the oaths, inserted his own commentary, and added a warning about secret combinations to latter-day readers. This beginning was in the days of Jared, the son of Omer, 5 generations from the original Jared. Section heading, Jaredite Secret Combinations. Jared's daughter was expert and inspired him in a plot to kill his father and obtain the kingdom. She asked her father, quote, Hath he not read the record which our fathers brought across the great deep? Behold, is there not an account concerning them of old, that they by their secret plans did obtain kingdoms and great glory? Close quote. Ether 8:8-9. Moroni appropriately placed the blame on the 3 individuals who initiated the secret combinations that plagued the Jaredites until their destruction. Quote, And it was the daughter of Jared, which put it into his heart to search up these things of old, and Jared put it into the heart of Achish. Close quote. Ether 8:17. Achish willingly led the coup, following the plans of Jared and his daughter. Quote, And Achish did administer unto them, his kindred and friends, the oaths, which was given by them of old, who also sought power. And they, the secret combinations, were kept up by the power of the devil, to administer these oaths unto the people, to keep them in darkness, to help such as sought power to gain power, and to murder, and to plunder, and to lie, and to commit all manner of wickedness and whoredoms. Close quote. Ether 8:15-16. Achish eventually had Jared beheaded using these same secret combinations. He then assumed the throne. With this historical backdrop, Moroni broke from his abridgment to discuss, at length, the evils of secret combinations. Quote, For the Lord worketh not in secret combinations, neither doth he will that man should shed blood, but in all things hath forbidden it from the beginning of man. Close quote. Ether 8:19. Moroni's entire discourse there is worth reading. He added a warning to his future readers about secret combinations in their day, but he also obeyed Alma's commandment not to disclose the specific oaths. Quote, "And now I, Moroni, do not write the manner of their oaths and combinations, for it hath been made known unto me that they are had among all people. And they have caused the destruction of this people of which I am now speaking, and also the destruction of the people of Nephi." Close quote. Ether 8:20-21. Moroni's declaration that he would not include their oaths at this point in his abridgment implies that the oaths were written in the Jaredite record in connection with the history of Jared and Achish. If the Lord revealed the oaths proximate to the time they happened in Jaredite history, the association between Alma's discussion with Helaman and these historical events is strengthened. For the righteous Jaredites, who presumably kept the records, knowledge of these specific conversations between Jared and his daughter, the secret meetings of Achish and his kindred, and the specific oaths they used would have required revelation from the Lord. The detailed record of their deeds corresponds with Alma's description. When the Lord, quote, "saw that his people began to work in darkness," close quote, he declared that he would, quote, "discover to his people the works of their brethren, all their secret works and abominations," close quote. Close reading of the events that led to the first Jaredite secret combinations, coupled with a close look at Moroni's commentary therein, leads to the dating of Gazalem's lifetime sometime within the generations surrounding the reign of Jared and Achish. Section heading, Gazalem the Jaredite. The Lord mercifully warned King Omer in a dream to flee before Achish could assassinate him. His family and a few others who eventually joined them fled to the seashore, to a place called Eblam. Perhaps Gazalem was a member of Omer's household, who fled with him. If he didn't, the prospects for survival under the reign of Achish weren't very good. Quote, "So great had been the spreading of this wicked and secret society that it had corrupted the hearts of all the people." Close quote. A civil war, quote, "which lasted for the space of many years," close quote, between Achish and his own sons, left only 30 people alive. Omer then returned to reclaim his kingdom unopposed. The Lord speaks of Gazalem in the third person, "my servant Gazalem," which includes the possibility that the Lord is speaking about Gazalem to someone else. Perhaps these words of the Lord that Alma quoted were part of Omer's dream. The Lord may have instructed Omer to take Gazalem and the others with him, and promised Omer, quote, "I will prepare unto my servant Gazalem a stone," close quote. Those people who fled with Omer to the seashore may have been the righteous servants to whom the Lord revealed the secret combinations through Gazalem. Quote, "that I may discover unto my people which serve me," Omer and his people, "that I may discover unto them the works of their brethren, Jared and Achish, yea, their secret works, their works of darkness, and their wickedness and abominations," close quote. Their proximity to the seashore may have reminded Omer's people of the voyage their ancestors made across the sea. The description of the 16 stones the brother of Jared put in each end of the barges shares similar wording with the description of Gazalem's stone. Quote, "Thus the Lord caused stones to shine in darkness, to give light unto men, women, and children, that they might not cross the great waters in darkness," close quote. When the Lord said that he would prepare for Gazalem, quote, "a stone which shall shine forth in darkness unto light," close quote, perhaps he was drawing a parallel that had deep cultural meaning for the descendants of those who crossed the sea with lighted stones. It is possible that Gazalem found his stone at the seashore, but it seems too speculative to glean any more from the Book of Ether. We don't know what became of Gazalem or his seer stone. Section heading, questions. The concept of Gazalem as a Jaredite prophet raises several questions. Why would the Lord reveal these things to Gazalem through his own stone and not the interpreters given to the brother of Jared? Did Gazalem have access to the interpreters? It is possible that none of the Jaredites did. The brother of Jared was commanded, quote, that he should seal up the two stones which he had received, and shew them not until the Lord should shew them unto the children of men, close quote. What we know from the text is that the Nephites found the interpreters and the 24 plates independently. Therefore, the prophet Ether may not have inherited the interpreters in the end. They aren't specifically mentioned as being in his possession. If he did have them, why would he deposit them apart from the 24 plates? Perhaps the brother of Jared buried or hid the interpreters with his sealed record. Moroni comments that he was commanded to hide up the sealed portion and the interpreters, quote, again in the earth, close quote. This implies that they were hidden in the earth previously. Mosiah I may have been guided to where the brother of Jared buried them. Some of these questions may have been answered on the lost 116 pages. In any case, if Gazalem didn't have access to the interpreters, it makes sense for the Lord to prepare a seer stone for him. Section heading, Gazalem, spelled with an A-M. When Joseph Smith and his associates were preparing the publication of the 1835 edition of the Doctrine and Covenants, the names of many individuals and places were substituted with other names to protect the identity of church leaders. Joseph Smith's name was replaced with the names Enoch, Baruch Ael, and Gazalem, spelled with an A-M. This may have been an alternate spelling or misspelling of Gazalem. Joseph Smith's and early church members' interest in learning Hebrew or the language of Adam may have played a role in which names they selected. These names were gradually removed from subsequent editions of the Doctrine and Covenants and the real names inserted. Many early Latter-day Saints used the name Gazalem, spelled with an A-M, to refer to Joseph Smith or his seer stone. The following are some notable examples compiled by Mark Ashurst McGee. Of Wilford Woodruff, it was written, quote, in his possession he had many relics, among which was the seer stone, known as Gazalem, which was shown of the Lord to the prophet Joseph Smith. Close quote. It is not clear whether the unknown author of this statement was quoting President Woodruff, or if they interjected the phrase about Gazalem themselves. In 1855, approximately 11 years after the funeral of Joseph Smith, William W. Phelps wrote down the sermon he gave on that occasion, according to his memory. He wrote, quote, Joseph Smith, who was Gazalem in the spirit world, was and is and will be in the progress of eternity, the Prince of Light. 'Tis so, and who can dispute it? Close quote. Brigham Young and Willard Richards included an index to the 1841 edition of the Book of Mormon, which had the entry, Gazalem, a stone, secret. How do these usages of the name reconcile with the idea of Gazalem as a Jaredite prophet? One line of reasoning is that our knowledge of the name Gazalem began when early Latter-day Saints became familiar with the Book of Mormon. Since Alma 37 is one of the few places in the Book of Mormon that mentions the act of receiving revelations through a stone, early church members readily repurposed the name Gazalem and associated it with elements of Joseph Smith's divine calling as a seer. In addition, for the early saints, this passage initiated the question of whether Gazalem is the name of the person or the name of the stone, with no apparent consensus. The same question persists among the saints today, also without a consensus. The substitution of Gazalem, spelled with an A-M, for Joseph Smith's name in the Doctrine and Covenants, reinforced the perception that it was a prophecy of Joseph. After his death, that perception would have been amplified by a nostalgia for Joseph by those who knew him, or a desire to elevate his prophetic station. We don't know whether Joseph saw himself as a fulfillment of these verses, just felt a kinship with whoever Gezalem was, or even chose the substitute name himself. There are no surviving statements from Joseph declaring that he or his seer stone was named Gezalem. A prophecy concerning Joseph Smith already exists in the Book of Mormon, in 2 Nephi chapter 3, and it mentions his given name, Joseph, explicitly. This prophecy actually comes from the plates of brass, the writings of Joseph of Egypt, with which Alma would have been very familiar. Immediately before giving Helaman the 24 plates, Alma had entrusted him with the plates of brass. But Alma doesn't appear to be prophesying of future events. He points out that these prophecies and words he quotes have already been fulfilled thus far, including the use of the interpreters. Quote, "And thus far the word of God hath been fulfilled. Yea, their secret abominations have been brought out of darkness and made known unto us." Close quote. Alma 37:26. In this context, it doesn't seem that Alma is prophesying of the then-future restoration to be accomplished by Joseph Smith in the latter days, other than the quotation of the Lord that he would, quote, "bring to light all their secrets and abominations unto every nation which shall hereafter possess the land." Interpreting Gezalem as a Jaredite prophet does not diminish Joseph Smith's foreordained calling or his important work of translating the Book of Mormon. Section heading, summary. This article is an attempt to determine who Gezalem was, placing the burden of proof on the text of the Book of Mormon instead of the myriad subsequent interpretations or applications of the name. The purpose of this article is also to provide a scriptural framework for interpreting Gezalem as a Jaredite prophet. Some important points for understanding this concept are summarized below. In these verses about Gezalem, Alma speaks to Helaman about the Jaredites, the Jaredite record, the Jaredite secret combinations, and their destruction. Alma quotes twice from the Jaredite plates. Alma uses the quotations to teach about both the seer stone of Gezalem and the use of the interpreters by Mosiah II. Gezalem was a servant of the Lord whose revelations were recorded on the Jaredite plates. Alma is speaking to Helaman about history, prophecies already fulfilled. The Jaredite secrets had been revealed. Gezalem was a seer in their past, not the future. Gezalem's seer stone is a different revelatory instrument than the interpreters. Thus, the Book of Mormon describes the prophetic use of both a seer stone and the interpreters as examples we can study to understand Joseph Smith's experience in translating and receiving revelation. Gezalem's stone and the brother of Jared's interpreters were both used to reveal the Jaredite secret combinations to the Nephites in a two-step process. The stone was used at the time the secret combinations began, and the interpreters were used during the time of the Nephites. Gezalem is not mentioned by name in the Book of Ether, because the names included in the abridgment are typically the Jaredite kings or their political relatives. Alma recounts a history when secret combinations started, when, quote, "the Lord saw that his people began to work in darkness," close quote. One possibility for Gezalem's ministry, then, is the reign of Omer, when Jared and Achish founded the first secret combinations of the Jaredites. Gezalem, spelled with an A-M, was used as a substitute name for Joseph Smith in early publications of the Doctrine and Covenants. He may have seen the language in Alma 37 as echoing his own experience with the seer stone and adopted the name as a fitting substitute. Section heading, conclusion. The text indicates that Gezalem was a Jaredite prophet, that he lived among the Jaredites at a time when they had begun to indulge in secret combinations, and that a seer stone had enabled him to reveal those secret combinations to the righteous Jaredites. These revelations were written down on the Jaredite plates to justify and record the reason the Jaredites were destroyed. After the people of Limhi discovered those plates, Mosiah II used the interpreters to translate them. This included the revelations that had been received by Gazalim through his seer stone. Alma referred to both instruments, quoted twice from the Jaredite plates, and noted the fulfillment of those prophecies as he taught his son Helaman about Jaredite history, their secret combinations, how those secret combinations were brought to the knowledge of the Nephites, and why the Nephites should reject such wickedness. Elliot Jolly was born and raised in Vernal, Utah, and served a mission in Jamaica. He met his future wife, Michelle Wold, while studying biology at Brigham Young University. After graduating from dental school at Nova Southeastern University, Elliot completed graduate dental studies in orthodontics at the University of Pennsylvania. He practices orthodontics in Utah and western Colorado. He lives in Vernal, where he and his wife raise their 6 children. This has been a recording of Gazalim the Jaredite by Elliot Jolly, published in Interpreter, a Journal of Mormon Scripture, Volume 27, 2017, read by Elliot Jolly. This audio recording is copyrighted under a Creative Commons license and may be freely distributed if it remains unchanged, the journal and its website are credited, and it is for non-commercial use. A printed version of this and many other articles and resources on Mormon scripture can be found at mormoninterpreter.com.